The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Margaret Bartley presiding. God bless the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Judge Bartley, and I'm joined today via teleconference by Judge Greenberg and Judge Emeritus. We're here today for the matter of Douglas A. Constantine versus Robert L. Wilkie, docket number 18-7044. Before the court for review is the board's denial of entitlement to an effective date earlier than August 31, 2010, for the veteran's coronary artery disease. Counsel for the parties, please state your name and your appearance for the record, beginning with appellant's counsel.
This is Chris Attig from the law firm of Attig, Gurn & Steele for the appellant, Douglas Constantine.
Thank you, Mr. Attig.
This is Alexander Pagno on behalf of the secretary.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pagno. Each party, as you know, will have 30 minutes to present argument. Mr. Attig, how much time do you want to reserve?
Your Honor, we'd like to reserve 10 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, we will make that happen. And Mr. Attig, you may proceed when ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I would like to focus my argument initially on the court's question and its clarification order. Does the court have jurisdiction and authority to provide the relief that Mr. Constantine seeks? The court's jurisdiction to review board decision includes ensuring that the BVA does not improperly expand or narrow its jurisdiction. And when the board does step outside of its jurisdiction, the court has the authority to compel the BVA to properly exercise that jurisdiction. The relief that Mr. Constantine seeks is for the court to require the board to give the same binding effect to both the Niemer consent decree and the court's class certification order that those orders would have had or would have in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California. We are not asking the court here to interpret any portion of either of those documents. In fact, there is a clear boundary that separates giving binding effect to the Niemer consent decree and the class certification order and interpreting its scope. And that boundary is the four corners of those two documents. We can first look to the class certification order before the original Niemer court. And the scope of the class is a litigated and resolved issue. The original petition was filed by Vietnam veterans. Those veterans then asked the court to certify a very broad class. And they sought to certify that broad class because of concern for the future and the possibility that additional claimants would appear with latent diseases that are related to or have a positive association with diseases related to dioxin exposure. The VA responded to that motion before the court, and the VA actually argued that the class was too broad and it was ambiguous. They had their opportunity to challenge that broad statement of the class, and they lost that opportunity. The enforcing district court approved a broad class, and shortly after that, the original petition was amended to include that broad class. And so just based on that alone, the class certification issue where the scope of the class has already been resolved, and for the court to give binding effect to that order simply requires the court to instruct the board to follow the terms of that class certification order. We can also look to the four corners of the consent decree, which requires that the VA re-adjudicate claims in which a disease was service-connected pursuant to the Agent Orange Act of 1991. Mr. Constantine was service-connected for his heart disease pursuant to the Agent Orange Act. He was given a presumption of exposure to herbicides by operation of first 38 U.S.C. 1821. In 2003, Congress extended a presumption of exposure to Korean DMZ vets. And the VA interpreted that statute to mean that the presumption of exposure granted in that statute would allow them to extend the Agent Orange Act diseases to those veterans. And so they amended the Agent Orange Act implementing regulations at 3.307A64. Romanette 4. And in that regulation, the VA stated that it was going to extend to those Korean DMZ veterans who were exposed to herbicide the presumption of nexus for diseases identified as having a positive association under the Agent Orange Act of 1991. And in fact, the board decision in this case itself at record 2 states a conclusion of law that Mr. Constantine's heart condition was service-connected pursuant to the Agent Orange Act of 1991's implementing regulations at 3.309. So looking at those two documents, the court must give binding effect to them. The court need not interpret them. The court need not look behind them. The documents speak for themselves. We have some clues from the enforcing court, however, of the binding effect that they would have given those documents. First, we can look, as we just discussed, to the text and the process of class certification and the class certification order. The issue is resolved by that court, and the VA has not ever challenged that particular class certification order. We can look to NEMR's enforcement history, and we can see that three times the enforcing court or its reviewing appellate court has come back and told the VA, you're looking at the consent decree too narrowly. This is a remedial decree meant to be interpreted broadly to ensure that veterans who have diseases with a positive association to herbicide exposure receive their full compensation. And that's happened three times since the consent decree was ordered by the court. We can also look
Mr. Attic, this is Judge Bartley. With reference to that litigation that you just mentioned, have you approached the NEMA court in the Northern District of California for relief for Mr. Constantine?
We have not, Your Honor. We do not believe that we have to at this time, because we believe that this court can require the board to give binding effect to the orders that that court has already issued. And if the VA disagrees with that binding effect that the board provides, they can certainly go in and under Rule 60 under the federal rules, they can go in and petition that court to modify the consent decree or to seek clarification or to seek enforcement. We also believe we have to exhaust our remedies before this court and possibly the federal circuit before we have an opportunity to do that. But we don't think that that's even necessary.
Now, with regard to your going to the board, you would ask the board to find Mr. Constantine deserving of an earlier effective date of benefits under NEMR, but when it actually reviewed that question and addressed it and found that Mr. Constantine wasn't entitled to an earlier effective date, then you seemingly, and maybe you can just explain this to me if you didn't do this, you're objecting to our court that the board didn't have the authority to do so, to basically interpret NEMR. But if the board had found in your favor and given Mr. Constantine relief, can I assume you wouldn't have objected to the board's assessing that he did receive, he was entitled to relief under NEMR?
Your Honor, if the board had decided that Mr. Constantine was a NEMR class member by looking at the plain language of the class certification order and the consent decree and have given Mr. Constantine relief, assuming they would have given the effective date that we believe he's entitled to, but had the board simply looked at those two documents and given them binding effect in the way that we're asking this court to tell it to now, we probably would not be here right now, because in fact the BVA would have done what the law requires it to do, which is to follow the court's order in the NEMR consent decree and the class certification order. The board, however, did not do that. What the board did was it looked almost exclusively to the 3.816 regulation, which is, in our view, is a partial codification of the NEMR consent decree. The board did not even look at the court's order containing either the class certification or the consent decree. I believe it cited to a 2002 decision from the Ninth Circuit for its belief that Mr. Constantine is not a NEMR class member. And in fact, that's at record 8. And so because the board did not actually consider properly by looking at the consent decree, looking at the class certification order to give those documents binding effect, that's the board's error. And that's the error we're asking this court to rectify. We're not asking this court to interpret the consent decree. We're not asking this court to interpret the class certification order. We're only asking this court to order the board to give binding effect to those documents, the scope of which is already resolved either on the plain face of them, or we have clues to how the enforcing court would interpret them based on their past actions. The secretary's only argument that Mr. Constantine is not a member of the NEMR class is to look to Section 5 of the consent decree. And here is where the secretary, we believe, is asking the court to interpret the consent decree. It's something that is beyond their jurisdiction. But the secretary says that Section 3 limits the relief in the consent decree to the Agent Orange Act, to veterans who qualify under the Agent Orange Act. And that's a partial truth. In fact, the consent decree in paragraph 3 talks about looking at the diseases which are later service connected based on a positive association with dioxin. It refers to, in the actual text of the consent decree, 38 U.S.C. 316B, which is now 1116B. And that's important because the Agent Orange Act of 1991 had, very broadly speaking, two components. The first component was that it created a presumption of exposure for veterans who served in the Republic of Vietnam, and that's at 1116A or originally at 316A. The second component was to create a presumption of nexus for certain diseases that the VA determined had a positive association with herbicide exposure. That's 1116B or 316B. And nothing in that section, 1116B, limits the presumption of nexus in the Agent Orange Act of 1991 to only those veterans given a presumption of exposure under the Agent Orange Act. In fact, the NEMR case, if you broadly look at what NEMR was always about, it was always about the second component of the Agent Orange Act of 1991, which diseases were presumptively related to Agent Orange, how the VA made that decision, and how those decisions affected the effective dates in veterans' claims. There was never any component of NEMR after the class certification order where the scope of the class was ever at issue, or whether the presumption of exposure for Vietnam veterans or Republic of Vietnam service members was an issue. In fact, the touchstone for relief under the NEMR consent decree, as we've seen time and again in the enforcing court's decisions, the touchstone for relief was the issuance of a new rule service connecting a disease presumptively to herbicide exposure. Nothing in NEMR beyond that class certification order where the issue was litigated and resolved had anything to do with the geographic site of the herbicide exposure. There's other clues in the document that can point us to an understanding of what that document actually is saying, and we can see that the consent decree required the VA to provide to class counsel a list of all veterans on the Agent Orange registry. It doesn't say just those Republic of Vietnam veterans on the Agent Orange registry. It's all veterans. And there would be no need to give them all veterans if, in fact, that consent decree was limiting its scope to only RVN service members. We can also look to the class certification order, where the judge that issued that decision spoke of the similarity of the class to the broad class in the Agent Orange product liability litigation. And particularly in the Eastern District of New York at 100 FRD 718, the class in that aspect of the product liability talked about any persons who are in the U.S. Armed Forces who are injured in or near Vietnam by exposure to dioxin, Agent Orange herbicides. And I use those terms interchangeably because the different certifications use the term differently, and our knowledge and understanding of that has grown. But all these clues point to the same thing, is that the issue of the scope of the class has been litigated and resolved, and this court must give binding effect to it. The consent decree clearly states that it extends and requires the VA to re-adjudicate those claims at the point where it decides whether a new disease has a positive association with Agent Orange exposure And once that happens, they apply that relief to the full class, which has been litigated and resolved.
This is Judge Meredith.
Yes, Your Honor.
Excuse me. If I could, I'd like to turn back to 3.816, VA's regulations, which set forth VA's policy on its rules for implementing the NEMA court orders. I know you mentioned that you believe that that's too narrow, but what authority would this court, as opposed to the district court, have for instructing the VA to change that policy, particularly where the relief provided in that, in 3.816, is pursuant to the NEMA class action. It's not pursuant to statute. It's actually contrary to statute. So how would this court have authority to tell VA that their policy needs to change?
Your Honor, this court does not need to tell the VA that any policy needs to change. 3.816 specifically looks to those Republic of Vietnam service members and provides a codification of the NEMA consent decree as to that subset of the class. And so this court does not need to come in because we are not challenging the VA's interpretation of a consent decree as it pertains to 3.816. We're not saying that the secretary has too narrowly interpreted the consent decree when it created that regulation. If we had made that argument, I think the jurisdictional question might be different or addressed differently here and might be more consistent to what was discussed in, I think it's colloquially referred to as NEMER 3 in the Ninth Circuit in 2007, where the court in that case discussed at great length the difference between challenging a VA regulation and the scope of that regulation vis-a-vis the consent decree in the Federal Circuit and in the Northern District of California Enforcing Court. We're not asking this court to do that, so the court need not tell the VA anything about their policy or any policy that led to how they drafted 3.816. We are simply asking this court to look to the law, which at this time is the class certification order and the consent decree, and to instruct the BVA to follow that law and to give those documents the binding effect that NEMER Enforcing Court would give them in the Northern District of California. If there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Mr. Adig, this is Judge Bartley. Now, you cite to the Armour case for your four corners argument. That case, to me, didn't necessarily seem particularly on point because it was not trying to enlarge the scope of a consent decree or stipulation. It was merely basically someone was trying to cite one of the provisions that was in the consent decree, essentially. So do you have any case law? Can you point to any that is more like the situation here where you're essentially trying to broaden the scope and get Mr. Constantine into the NEMA decree?
Yeah, first of all, can I
just clarify that maybe you don't agree with the words broaden the scope, but I'm in referencing that, I'm basically pointing out, as the secretary did, that the NEMA litigation was brought by Vietnam veterans and involved the challenges to the VA's implementation of the Dioxin and Agent Orange Act. And, so in that respect, it's trying to broaden the scope. You're trying to broaden the scope.
Yes, Ryan, thank you for clarifying that. I was about to point out that we did disagree that we are not trying to broaden the scope. But I tend to agree on at least a very basic level that U.S. v. Armour really focuses on the limiting the scope of the consent decree to its terms and not straining the meaning. I think that particular decision, as well as some of the decisions that follow from it, are talking to the enforcing court to help them understand and to guide the enforcing court into how it determines the purposes that the document meant to serve, the consent decree, how to assess the intent of the parties, that simply probably does not apply to the court here, other than knowing that U.S. v. Armour and a couple of the cases that follow it basically instruct this court that it is not the enforcing court and cannot step in as the enforcing court. And that's important because we think the secretary is asking this court to stand in the shoes of the enforcing court and to reinterpret the scope of the consent decree and the scope of the class certification order. So the second part of the question as to which cases might speak to the situation here a little bit more closely, I think there are a couple. I think Kekkonen is probably the one that I would initially jump right to. And Kekkonen talks about the court's ancillary jurisdiction. And that ancillary jurisdiction looks specifically exists, particularly in this court, would exist where the court needs to do something to enable it to function successfully, to manage its proceedings, or to vindicate its authority or effectuate its decrees. And in order to vindicate its authority here, the court would have to take certain action. The authority of this court is not vindicated if the law allows the board to usurp the district court's power to construe the provisions of its own consent decree simply by declining to follow that class consent decree or the class order. In other words, this court, the only option, and from the appellant's perspective, that this court has is to come in and tell the board to give binding effect to the consent decree and to give binding effect to the class certification order. To do otherwise, I'm just going to finish my thought and then I will stop, Your Honor. To do otherwise is allowing the board to usurp the district court's power, construe the provisions of the consent decree simply by declining to follow it. If there's no further questions, I'd like to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Judge Greenberg, do you have any questions?
Yes. Counsel, what order would you like this court to enter?
Your Honor, I would like this court to issue an order that directs the BVA to give binding effect to the decisions to the class certification order. Specifically, I'm going to ask the court to direct the BVA to vacate the board's decision and to order the BVA to give binding effect for the language of the consent decree, the class certification order, and to re-adjudicate Mr. Constantine's 2007 claim unless and until such time as the VA successfully petitions the NEMA court to modify either or both of those orders. That would be the specific order that I would ask.
Well, what about the effective date? What effective date are you seeking for your client?
Your Honor, the effective date would be a question of fact for the board to resolve. I don't know that it's necessarily a disputed fact because Section 5 of the consent decree sets the effective date for a covered claim as the date of the claim underlying the voided decision. And here the voided decision was the 2009 VA ratings decision, and the date of the claim underlying that was December 2007. So I don't know that I would necessarily ask the court to make that finding a fact, although I do believe that it may be undisputed that that should be the effective date. And so if the court was inclined to direct the BVA to institute a particular effective date, we would ask them to order the board to set the December 2007 claim date as the effective date.
Well, would that, assuming that we were correct and not overruled by a higher court, wouldn't that end this litigation if we were to direct the board to enter, as a matter of law, an earlier effective date?
As a matter of law, yes, it would end this particular veteran's claim. I think that there might be, you know, some question, quite possibly from the secretary in a reviewing court, but it would, for Mr. Constantine's purposes, resolve that as to his claim.
Thank you.
And Judge Meredith, do you have any further questions?
I do not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Adig. Mr. Pano, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. If it please the court, for 30 years, both parties to the ongoing NEMA litigation have understood that the effective date provisions contained in the 1991 consent decree only apply to re-adjudication of the claims from veterans who served in the Republic of Vietnam. This understanding is enshrined in 38 CFR 3.816. The validity and the interpretation of that regulation are not being challenged now and have not been challenged in the past. The Secretary urges the court to affirm the board decision for three reasons. First, the board did not exceed its jurisdiction here. It correctly found that Section 3.816 did not apply to the facts of this case because appellant did not serve in the Republic of Vietnam. Second of all, to the extent that appellant's argument extends beyond whether the board exceeded its jurisdiction, this court, as appellant has said, does not have the jurisdiction or authority to provide the relief appellant requests because interpretation and enforcement of the consent decree are reserved to the Northern District of California. Clarification enforcement is what appellant is really seeking here, and to that extent, that has been expressly reserved to the Northern District of California. The court should avoid making any pronouncements regarding the scope of the NEMR class or the provisions of the consent decree, and it shouldn't take any action that might conflict with any holding of the district court in the current NEMR litigation, as the current NEMR litigation involves the geographical scope of the consent decree. Finally, if the court should decide that it needs to interpret the scope of the NEMR class, for purposes of VA's contractual obligation under the consent decree, the class is limited to veterans who served in the Republic of Vietnam by the express terms of the decree. Regarding whether or not the board exceeded its jurisdiction, Section 3.816 codifies the effective date provisions of the consent decree. That is its express purpose. And it explicitly states that a NEMR class member is a Vietnam veteran or a survivor of a Vietnam veteran. 3.816 is the only regulation governing effective dates for NEMR claims, and that would be the regulation the board is obligated to apply. The Federal Circuit in Robinson versus Wilkie has held that the effective date for a NEMR class member is determined by the application of 3.816. The board here did not interpret the consent decree. It did not define the NEMR class. It properly relied on and specifically cited the 3.816. 3.816 is what interprets the consent decree, and it also defines VA's obligation under that consent decree regarding effective dates. The board, all it did here was to find that the regulation did not apply. Because 3.816 defines the NEMR class member for VA effective date purposes, the board's bound to apply the definition, and it properly did so here. As appellant is not challenging the validity of that regulation or the board's application or interpretation of that regulation, in fact, he's conceded that 3.816 does not apply, but he cites no other statute or regulation which would govern the effective date for NEMR claims or that would provide a basis for the relief he seeks. The board is limited in its jurisdiction to statutes, regulations, and interpretations of VA. Here, the regulation is clear. Thus, the board was required to, is governed by that regulation and that definition, and it did not exceed its interpretation. It did not exceed its jurisdiction in applying the regulation, or finding that it did not apply to the facts of this case. Now, to the extent that appellant's argument extends beyond whether the board exceeded its jurisdiction, we agree the court does not have jurisdiction or authority to interpret or enforce the provisions of the consent decree. Clarification and enforcement of the consent decree are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Northern District of California. The consent decree is a contract between the VA and the NEMR class that it sets forth VA's ongoing responsibilities. The specific language of the decree was negotiated between the parties and agreed to, and the final agreement was incorporated into the district court's 1991 order. Thus, the consent decree creates a limited non-statutory exception to the general effective date principles in 38 U.S.C. 5110. but it's not a law that the court would have jurisdiction under USC 7261 to interpret or enforce it. The district court where the consent decree was agreed to.
Mr. Pano.
Yes.
This is Judge Bartley. In our Williams case, Williams versus Principi, and which was affirmed before the Federal Circuit, did this court and the Federal Circuit, or at least this court, interpret parts of the dissent, the decree in that case? And if we did, why aren't we permitted to do that here?
The court in Williams was concerned with whether the interpretation of the holdings in Niemer 1 and Niemer 2 were controlling. There was reference to the consent decree, but the issue wasn't the scope or the interpretation of the consent decree itself, but whether the holdings in Niemer 1 and Niemer 2 applied to the veterans' claims such that the consent decree would even be at issue. So it was not interpreting the consent decree. It was interpreting the scope of the decisions in Niemer 1 and Niemer 2, which would differentiate it from the facts of this case.
Thank you.
Certainly. Again, because the district court retains jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction over over interpretation and enforcement of the consent decree, and the court does not have authority to divest the district court of that jurisdiction or to concurrently interpret or enforce the consent decree at the same time. The Ninth Circuit explained this all in Niemer 4. When a district court incorporates the terms of the agreement into an order, it retains ongoing subject matter jurisdiction to interpret and enforce the contents of the order. Because the judge in this case incorporated the terms of the consent decree, he retained jurisdiction to interpret and enforce the terms of the decree going forward. This is consistent with what the Supreme Court held in Kekkonen. And moreover, the Ninth Circuit in Niemer 4 held that nothing gives the parties to the consent decree the power to unilaterally eliminate the jurisdiction of that court, of the district court, or to forfeit that court's right to supervise and implement the agreement in the order. Appellant is suggesting an interpretation of the consent decree based on ancillary documents and interpretations of the law, but that has not been advanced before the district court. And in this case, it would only be appealable or reviewable by another circuit. The effect of this would be exactly what the court was warning against in Niemer 4, to unilaterally withdraw the jurisdiction of the district court and review via the Ninth Circuit. So to the extent that appellant seeking relief based on his interpretation of the consent decree or any of the supporting documents, the proper avenue for relief lies with the District Court of California. Now, there's other reasons why the court should avoid making any pronouncements here. First, only one of the parties to the consent decree contract is being represented here. A class counsel was appointed to the Niemer plaintiffs, and that counsel is not present here. If this were an Article III court, it'd be argued that the court would not even have personal jurisdiction, let alone subject matter jurisdiction over this issue. But in either case, any pronouncement regarding the intent of the parties to the contract without any input from Niemer class or their counsel would be inequitable and insufficiently informed. Moreover, because the language of the consent decree was agreed to by the parties, it's governed by the laws and principles applicable to contracts, which the district court is better suited to interpret and to apply. The district court is familiar with the parties to this contract. They're familiar with the history of the litigation, and the interpretation of the district court has previously been given deference by the Ninth Circuit. Indeed, it has issued multiple previous clarification and enforcement orders, which have been upheld. Moreover,
Mr. Pano, this is Judge Bartley. In Williams, I know that class counsel acted as amicus, filed an amicus brief there. Did they do so at the Federal Circuit?
That I am not sure. I would have to, I can provide supplemental briefing on that, but I'm not 100% sure on that, Your Honor. Turning back to the case, the question of the geographic limitation of the consent decree is currently being litigated right now in the Northern District of California. Neither party, neither the Niemer class nor VA, is arguing what appellant is arguing here, that there is no geographic boundary to the terms of the consent decree. So what we have here, if the court chooses to adjudicate the scope of the consent decree, would create a serious jurisdictional problem. For the court to interpret and enforce the consent decree based on what the Niemer class is arguing before the Northern District right now, the courts would almost be obligated to come to differing conclusions as to the geographic parameters of the consent decree. This would set up a situation where both of those interpretations of the contract are reviewable by separate circuit courts, and that could not be resolved absent a Supreme Court decision. Finally, the Niemer class was certified under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 23. Part of the whole point of having the class action was to avoid a multiplicity of suits, to provide a single common binding adjudication, and to prevent inconsistent or varying adjudications afterwards. Appellant's proposed relief here would defeat the whole point of the class action. If the court, however, should choose to address the merits of the consent decree, regardless of the jurisdictional issues and concerns, it should still find that the scope of the consent decree does not extend to the appellant. The consent decree only applies to veterans who served in the Republic of Vietnam. This has been the party's understanding for the past 30 years. It's consistent with the express terms of the consent decree and tracks with the Dioxin Act and the Agent Orange Act of 1991. Neither the express terms of the consent decree nor the interpretations by VA or the Niemer plaintiffs reflect any intent that the scope of the decree should extend beyond Vietnam veterans. Obviously, 3.816 reflects VA's understanding of its obligation pursuant to the consent decree, and the Niemer class has not before and is not now challenging that interpretation, either here or in the Northern District of the court. In fact, class counsel in the current litigation is arguing that the class of veterans eligible for relief tracks with the Agent Orange Act and is limited to veterans who served in the Republic of Vietnam. They have made that argument, and that argument is being considered by the judge in the Northern District of California. Thus, the appellant's argument here is at odds not only with the understanding of both parties to the Niemer litigation, but what is likely to be the pronouncement of the Northern District of California. Moreover, there's nothing supporting appellant's argument. They cited to no case law that any court has determined that veterans who did not serve in the Republic of Vietnam are entitled to relief directly under the consent decree. The consent decree as a contract would be governable by the express terms contained therein. The express language of the consent decree does not define the Niemer class at all. More importantly, it doesn't predicate VA's obligations going forward regarding re-adjudication or effective date to a class of individuals. VA's obligation is in relation to a specific group of claims. Paragraph 3 of the consent decree, states that VA will re-adjudicate any claims for service connection based on diseases arising from the Agent Orange Act of 1991 or that were voided by the court's 1989 order in Niemer 1. The court's order in Niemer 1 was based on the Dioxin Act, and the Agent Orange Act is also expressly incorporated into the provisions of the consent decree. In both of those acts, Congress limited the application to veterans based on their service in the Republic of Vietnam. Paragraph 5, the only paragraph dealing with effective dates, it establishes that the effective dates for claims being re-adjudicated in paragraph 3. And again, those claims are only based on the Dioxin Act and the Agent Orange Act, both of which are explicit to veterans who served in the Republic of Vietnam. So neither paragraphs 5 or 3 apply to a class of individuals. They apply to a specific set of claims that were denied under the Dioxin Act or brought under the Agent Orange Act, both of which, again, only apply to veterans who served in the Republic of Vietnam. As appellant admittedly did not serve in the Republic of Vietnam, he is not entitled to the effective date provisions of the consent decree. Appellant discusses or seems to interpret that the class certification order should control here. But again, this would be something that is was not contained in the consent decree. The class certification order in and of itself does not obligate any specific action from VA. It doesn't create any law that VA must adhere to. It is a preliminary procedural order in a district court litigation. It is not a source of law that the board would be able to consider or apply. The consent decree is what's binding on VA and what obligates VA action. The class certification order is not incorporated into it either explicitly or by reference. Indeed, it's not even mentioned. To the extent that the certification order might possibly inform the interpretation of the consent decree, maybe give light to the party's intent in reaching the terms that they did in the consent decree, that is exclusively the province of the district court to decide. This is not something the court can or should review, and it's not a question of law that's necessary to the disposition of this litigation. So, because the board correctly applied the regulation governing effective dates as to NEMR plaintiffs, and as nobody is contesting the validity of that regulation, and appellant has conceded it does not apply here, this is the wrong forum for appellant's requested relief. Any remedy based directly on the consent decree itself remains the province of the Northern District of California, and it properly should be pursued there. For these reasons, the Secretary respectfully requests that the...
I just want to follow up on the point you just made. There's a board decision that denies an earlier effective date based on the finding that an individual does not fall within the NEMR class. Are you suggesting that the scope of our review is limited to deciding whether the individual falls under 3.816 and we can't look at anything else? What is, in your view, our scope of review when someone is denied?
Appellant has said that the issue here is whether the board exceeded its jurisdiction. Thus, we would argue that the scope of review here is limited to whether or not the board applied the regulations that it was bound to apply. In this case, it was bound to apply 3.816. If appellant was challenging 3.816, that might extend the court's jurisdiction to consider things outside. However, that is not at issue here. The validity of 3.816 and really even the application of 3.816 are not being challenged here. What appellant is seems to be challenging is that the court or that the board was obligated to make some finding based directly on the consent decree that would be inconsistent with the express terms of 3.816. And we're saying the board does not have that authority. It's bound by the duly promulgated regulations here, 3.816. 3.816 defines the NEMR class for effective date purposes. The board's obligated to apply that. Therefore, it did not exceed its jurisdiction.
Mr. Pagno, Judge Meredith, are you finished?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay. Mr. Pagno, just following up on that, so what did VA do after the consent decree was signed and before 3.816 came into existence? If you're saying that the board doesn't have any, the board and, I mean, perhaps you were saying this court doesn't have any authority to determine the effective date outside of 3.816. Didn't, and maybe I'll make it easy for you by suggesting an answer. Before 3.816, didn't VA and the board apply the terms of the consent decree?
I cannot specifically address that as to, you know, single board decisions. That is my understanding. However, I would not commit myself to saying that was the what happened in each and every case. However, once 3.816 was promulgated, the board was obligated to follow the provisions contained therein. I can't say what the basis for board decisions was prior to the promulgation of 3.816.
But you essentially just admitted that it was, to your understanding, it was the NEMA stipulation itself.
It may have been. There may have been a guiding interpretation issued by the agency prior to that point, which governed the board's adjudications. I'm not 100% sure on that. I can offer a supplemental briefing if you would like on that issue.
Thank you.
So if there are no further questions, for the reasons that the Secretary's, I'm sorry.
Judge Greenberg, do you have any questions for Secretary's counsel?
Yes, I do. counsel, does the Secretary agree, as you keep arguing, that the NEMA consent decree is a contract? Is that what you're arguing?
That is what the Ninth Circuit in NEMA 4 has held, yes. That is
and
what
you, you agree with that, that this is a contractual obligation?
It's both a contract and a district court order, but for the purposes of interpretation, the principles of contract law would be applicable here.
Well, what about the principle of contract law that Judge Cardozo announced over a century ago, that every contract carries the obligation of good faith and fair dealing? Do you agree that that concept applies to the Secretary as a party to this contract?
Again, I can't speak to the principles of contract law, but it seems that, yes, that would apply to the Secretary's dealings under the contract, yes.
And do you believe that Secretary's actions in this case comply with that principle, good faith and fair dealing?
Yes.
Thank you.
Judge Mears, do you have any further questions?
I do not, thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Pagno. Mr. Adig, you may proceed with your rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to first answer a question, Chief Judge Bartley, that you had asked in the prior segment of the argument. MVLSP did submit an amicus brief at the Federal Circuit in Williams v. Principi. I have not read the actual brief, but the court's decision in that case does seem to speak that the MVLSP was asking the court to withhold decision until it had exhausted its administrative remedies at the Northern District of California, but I have not read the actual amicus. To the broader picture of your question to my colleague as to whether the Federal Circuit's actions in Williams somehow give the court that authority here, we would argue that Williams v. Principi was issued by the Federal Circuit without jurisdiction. I believe there was a case presented at the court on this issue recently, and I believe it resolved by a joint motion to remand on another issue. But certainly in Williams v. Principi, the Federal Circuit looked and interpreted the actual scope of the consent decree, which it lacks jurisdiction to do. So we believe that that would be void, and we believe that if the court here were to look behind the actual language of the class certification order and the actual language of the consent decree, that it would also be exceeding its jurisdiction and stepping on the toes of the Northern District of California to the extent that it interprets or enforces the consent decree or class certification order. Again, this court need only give binding effect or require the board to give binding effect to the same degree that the Northern District of California would. The secretary argued that that the BVA's jurisdiction only extends to statutes and regulations, and 7104 is not so narrow. 7104 says that the board's jurisdiction is to apply all applicable provisions of law and regulation, and I know of no court ruling or statute or regulation that says that a consent decree is not governing law once it's entered in the judgment of the court, as it was in the Northern District of California, and as that court retained jurisdiction to enforce, it is valid law, and the board was required to enforce it. The secretary argued that the Federal Circuit somehow authorized the definition of the class in 3.816, citing to a case, Robinson v. Wilkie. That case and that argument, that line of argument, was not in the secretary's brief, so I can't speak to that, given how many different Robinson cases there are at the Federal Circuit at various times. I can't address that. The secretary's the crux of their argument is that they are asking this court to look at our argument as seeking clarification and enforcement of a consent decree, and we are absolutely not doing that. In fact, if this court was to affirm the board's decision, it would be making a pronouncement as to the scope of the NEMR consent decree, and it would be contradicting the face of the consent decree and the face of the class certification order to do so. To kind of take the secretary's logic a step further, every time that the VA decides that it does not want to live up to the language it agreed to in that consent decree, it merely can take white out and cover the entire decree and say, no court can look to this until somebody goes into the Northern District of California and asks the court to clarify it. It makes the consent decree and the judgment ordering it worthless if every single time the clear language of that decree has to be litigated over and over and over in the Northern District of California. The language of the class certification order is clear. It was litigated. The VA lost that issue. There was a broad certification. And the NEMR consent decree, it is true, does not actually reiterate that. But a consent decree is going to apply to the plaintiffs in a particular suit. They negotiated it. The plaintiffs in that suit, as the plaintiffs amended after the class certification order to include that broad class, those are the plaintiffs that are entitled to that relief. So the consent decree doesn't need to reiterate every aspect of jurisdiction and standing, personal or subject matter, or any other of the criteria in order to have binding effect as to the scope of the relief that it's providing or the class that it's providing it to. Let me look at my notes. The secretary made an argument that it has long been the understanding of the parties or always been the understanding of the parties. I don't want to mischaracterize his words, so I'm paraphrasing. And I apologize to my colleague if I paraphrase too broadly, but the VA has never agreed to any understanding. In fact, they are in the Northern District of California right now arguing that even though the Federal Circuit in Procopio and the U.S. Congress defined the term RVN, Republic of Vietnam, to include territorial waters, they are in the Northern District of California saying that Republic of Vietnam does not mean that. So they do not agree to the scope of it. And to argue here that they do is to play a little bit fast and loose with their position as to the history of this decree. And again, if this was the enforcing court, the court could look to the conduct of the parties and could look to the good faith and fair dealing aspect of the parties. But this court is not the enforcing court. This court can only look to the plain language on the consent decree and the plain language in the four corners of the class certification order and give them the same binding effect that the Northern District of California would. We ask the court at this point, if there's no further questions, we ask the court to vacate the board's decision and to direct the board to give binding effect to the language of the consent decree in NEMR, give binding effect to the clear language of the class certification order, and re-adjudicate Mr. Constantine's 2007 claim, grant an effective date, if the court deems that appropriate, of December of 2007, unless and until such time as the VA successfully petitions the NEMA court to modify either of those orders in the Northern District of California.
Thank you, Mr. Adick. Judge Greenberg, do you have any further questions for Mr. Constantine's counsel?
No.
And Judge Meredith?
I do not. Thank you.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Adick. And the court thanks both parties for their arguments, and the case is submitted for consideration.
The court is in recess.